Praise be to God for Charlie and for baptism. Today we'll be looking at God's Word to learn about forgiveness, a little more about forgiveness, specifically forgiveness to one another. It's been said that Christians are the most forgiven people in the world, and therefore we should be the most forgiving people in the world. Looking at God's Word, we see that forgiving others really begins with a foundation of knowing that our greatest need is forgiveness. When we enter this world, our greatest need is forgiveness from our sins. Now, you remember the lame man that went to Jesus? Actually, he was carried to Jesus because he was paralyzed. And his friends took him to Jesus and they couldn't get to him because the house was so crowded. So they had to go up on the roof, cut a hole through the roof and lower him down in front of Christ. And do you remember what Jesus said as this man was lowered down in front of him? He said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Now, we know that's not really probably what they principally went there for. They went to see this man healed from being paralyzed. But Christ was teaching us an important lesson, wasn't he? That our greatest need, even over healing, is forgiveness of our sins. You see, because of our sin, we are totally depraved. Every part of us, our will, our affections, everything is corrupt with sin. And that sin comes with a consequence. We all know it comes with death. We're condemned to death. For the wages of sin is death. Yet God, in His great mercy, has forgiven the sins of those that trust in Him alone. One of the key verses which explains this so well is Ephesians 1:7. "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And our Word also says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So you can see that as the elect of God, we've been reconciled. We're no longer condemned. Our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Think of all the sins maybe you've done. Yet Christ has forgiven everyone. Yet sometimes we turn and even struggle to forgive a brother of ours with one sin committed against us. See, we are on our way to condemnation, except that our sin is forgiven and washed in the blood of Christ. See, the foundation of God's forgiveness is the blood of Jesus Christ. And now that we remember that, now with that foundation in place, we can go on and discuss forgiving one another, because that is fundamental to understand our need. To understand the importance of forgiving one another, do you remember the parable of the unforgiving servant that Jesus told in Matthew 18? So remember, there was this servant and he owed an enormous debt, a ridiculously large amount of money. But he was forgiven by his master after pleading. But then that servant went to his fellow servant who owed actually a very small amount, but he would not forgive him the debt and he threw him into prison. And so the parable continues in Matthew 18 this way. "Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers that he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to each of you if from his heart does not forgive his brother in his trespass." So we see that forgiving others is very serious to God. It's a very grave consideration for our very souls. Again, in Matthew 6, notice the words of Christ. "For if you forgive men their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass." Again, very serious to God. We must forgive others. We must remember this. And we have to recognize that if we do not forgive others, we're not receiving forgiveness, no more so can we even participate in any kingdom work. So that we know that to be forgiven, we must forgive in others. Let's look at this in the context of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to be reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32, which is kind of a key text here. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So we really see forgiveness for our brothers and sisters explained here. And what is the result of forgiving one another? Well, it's explained just earlier in chapter 4 in Ephesians. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the Spirit in the bond of peace. So it brings unity. Unity in the body. So we've seen our need for forgiveness. We've seen Christ's atoning work for our sins. See, these are our motivators to forgive one another. We recognize our sin, which brings unity to the body when we forgive one another. Now, before we go on, I do want to just stop and give some attention to a few considerations, just to kind of keep us in the guardrails here a little bit. Number one, remember that forgiving others does not mean we unwisely put ourselves or someone else in danger. If there's some kind of abuse going on, we need to take biblical principles to protect and correct one another. Number two, forgiveness does not mean we never practice church discipline. No. I mean, we know that God's way is reconciliation of relationship. And number three, remember that forgiving people in our hearts, as we're capable of doing, does not mean we excuse their sin. Because we know it's in fact unloving to let someone continue in their sin and not even let them know about it. We would all want to be exhorted and built up about our sin. Remember, gentle restoration through relationships, through confession, repentance, and forgiveness brings reconciliation. So now looking back at Ephesians 4, we can see that what it's really telling us is our heart condition of forgiveness is measured by what's coming out of us, our actions and our words that we see, the fruit we bear. It tells us in verse 31, we must put off unforgiving actions like bitterness and anger. See, these things just dwell in an unforgiving heart that gets bound up. We cannot harbor bitterness in our heart and then also try to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 3 is very similar in its admonition. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So, you know, when we consider putting off unforgiving actions, we might say, well, I never turn to rage or anger. But do we sometimes turn to more subtle responses when maybe there's a complaint? We have a complaint against another or we've been offended. Do we turn silent against that person? Do we avoid them? Do we ignore them? Maybe we're impatient with them. These are unforgiving actions too. No, instead, we need to look to Christ. Remember the sin that He's forgiven us of. And may we walk in that in humility. Remember that walking in the Spirit with a forgiving heart results in good fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. We're all familiar with these. And that walking in the flesh with an unforgiving heart, well, it results in bad fruit. It can result in contentions and jealousies, envy and strife, and even selfishness. Yes, we also must forgive in our words. We must put off unforgiving words. For we know that out of the heart the mouth speaks. So have you forgiven someone in your heart, but do perhaps unforgiving or corrupt words, harsh words come out of your mouth? Are you sarcastic? Do you maybe walk around talking about others' sin? We need to stop talking about others' sin and speak to that which is helpful. As our brother Blair exhorted the men yesterday in the meeting, every word that comes from us to a brother or sister should be for edification. Every word, not just sometimes, every word. So are our words helpful in building up? So consider, are you kind and tender-hearted, as Ephesians 4:32 says? Are your words, is your attitude that of reconciliation and restoration? Now, we know that this can be very difficult to do. We are offended easily, and sins can hurt. But we must remember that we're not going to achieve this in our own strength. It's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit that we need to rest in. Remember, the Holy Spirit is our helper. In Romans, it's called the helper in times of weakness. And as we just read in Ephesians 4, an unforgiving heart grieves the Holy Spirit. May we instead trust in God. To summarize what we've said here, I just want to give you a few points of what we should not do when we're offended or even someone sins against us, because these are so common to our flesh to run after. Number one is, don't dwell on the sin. Don't dwell on an offense of another and get bound up in that. As has been exhorted from this pulpit before, be like that duck that lets the water run off of its back. Or as Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. We should all remember that this is a very key element of spiritual maturity, overlooking a transgression. Number two, if you're offended, don't bring it up over and over again. That doesn't help. Sadly, sometimes we even bring these up to maybe hurt one another again. The world calls this revenge. May we have nothing to do with that. But instead, may we desire reconciliation. And number three, and really here's probably the most common one. We sort of, if we're offended against or we have a complaint against another, we sort of in a pious way will say, well, I'll just keep unity and not talk to that guy anymore. But we know that that is not God's desire. His desire is that these brothers would even grow closer together in relationship. May we pursue that. And may we be in a ready position to reconcile the relationship. Remember our brother Bill just brought up in the beginning about the father of the prodigal son. Remember, he was in a posture ready to forgive and welcome his son home, ready for reconciliation, almost anticipating it. May we be hopeful in that way. So here are some ways, some hopeful ways that we can forgive one another and be hopeful. In other words, how should we respond if you think that there's an offense or a sin? Number one, as we've discussed, rest in the forgiveness of Christ. Looking to Christ, forgiving one another even as Christ forgave you. Because our life, as we know, is not our own. We're in the new man. We don't live for ourselves. Number two, take the exhortation that Mr. Fine's been giving us for many weeks now. Be hopeful in all things. Be hopeful for restoration of the relationship. Number three, pray for, and if you need to, go and seek that restoration. Even approach if there may be any discord between a brother or sister. Number five, desire that this will actually improve the relationship. We know that God providentially ordains all conflict for His glory. May He use this. May we pray and may we be hopeful that He'll use it. Often He sanctifies everybody involved in the process. And number six, are there ways that you could actually bless this person, bless this brother or sister? Consider if you offended someone, hurt someone, you were convicted and repentant, how would you want to be treated going forward? In conclusion, let us remember Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Remember that our motivation is Christ's forgiveness to us, whereby we are remade into the new man. We're compelled in the Spirit to glorify God. So when you're sinned against, just look to Christ. We need to turn to Christ and remember the debt He's paid for us. And don't get bound up in the offense. We need to remember that the power to forgive one another comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be accomplished in our own hands. And the result is unity in the body, so that we can all go on and do kingdom work. That is our goal and our desire. Brothers and sisters, may we be humbled by the forgiveness of God through Christ and forgive one another in our hearts and glorify God by living out unity. And the result will be what David's saying in Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we confess to You, God, that we have failed many times because we are not quick to forgive our brother or sister. despite the great riches that God has freely bestowed to us through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, that has forgiven our transgression, that has overlooked our iniquity. Father, we are hesitant even sometimes, and it is difficult for us to forgive one another. Father, may the Holy Spirit help us in this. May we forgive one another with humble hearts, and may we love one another and increase the unity amongst the body by giving forgiving actions and forgiving words. May we be humbled by this, Father, knowing that we sin so often every day, yet God came and saved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we go forth, I pray that we would dwell in unity. Father, we would exhort one another, build one another up, encourage one another up with words of life, words that give life. And may we be open and transparent with one another, realizing that we are all fallen, Father. And except for the grace of our loving God, we would be cast away from you, God. May this humble us now, we pray, Father. And as we consider our works, as we go forth, Father, as we consider this confession time now, may we consider Christ, and may we look to you and be hopeful for the work that you have for our hands. Let us now silently confess our sins to God.